For the past month, we've been focusing on themes that were part of a major Christian youth event this past summer called CHIC that 10 of our students and 3 leaders went to. The overarching theme for CHIC was unite, meaning that these are things that we do together, that they unite us as followers of Jesus. And 5 of those are printed at the bottom of the bulletin today, at the bottom of the order of worship. We strengthen the church. We're part of strengthening the church, being disciples who make disciples, serving globally, loving mercy and doing justice. And then today's focus being servant leaders. Servant leaders. Being people who lead others in Christ-like ways. That's the most basic definition of being a servant leader. Leading in a Christ-like way. Full of grace. Full of Christ. And we do this, as we do this, with God's help, people will follow our lead. We may not even see it. Or it may just be one person, or 5 people, or 500. The numbers and the recognition we get for it is completely secondary. What's primary is what Jesus said at the end of the passage I'll read from John 15 in a moment. He said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." That's at the heart of servant leadership. Doing, living, leading in ways that Jesus has appointed for us. Well, Philippians 2 is not my sermon text for today, but it's an important one to hold in mind regarding leading and serving and the whole bearing that we have as we go through life. Listen to what Paul wrote. He wrote, "In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind as Christ Jesus had." The same attitude of mind. The Greek word that Paul used here has to do with thinking and with forming opinions. That attitude of mind, how we think, how we form opinions, and by implication includes where we get these from, who we listen to. Paul says, turn to Jesus. Turn first and foremost, beginning and end, to Jesus. Let Him shape your thinking. Let Him shape your heart, your attitudes, your opinions. He writes, "In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind as Christ Jesus had, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant." A servant. "Being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." And then Paul goes on with one of the most beautiful praises to Jesus that we have. That God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Paul captures in a stunning way who and how Jesus is. Fully God, yet completely a servant. Fully invested with divine power, yet humble and obedient, even to the point of willingly giving up His life for others, for ours. It's from this very same Jesus that we gain our bearings in this very complicated world in which we live. It's this very same Jesus that we learn how to live and how to serve and how to lead humbly and selflessly, willing to release things that stoke the furnace of ego and pride within us and to honor Him first and others first. And it's from this very same Jesus that we learn the right use of power, the right use of authority, the right use of leadership along the lines of what God said to the prophet Zechariah so many years before. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. With that said, now let's turn to John 15. And from chapter 13 through the end of John 17, Jesus was having private time with his disciples. So the last time that they would be together before his arrest and crucifixion. It's in this section, from 13 to 17, that Jesus initiated the washing of feet of his disciples, and then the Lord's Supper. And it's in this section that he told them that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, that they would no longer be alone. In this section, he talked about being the vine and that his followers were the branches connected in a live way to this vine. John 13 through 17, if you've not read it for a long time, it is a powerful and poignant passage. It's also heartbreaking because while Jesus had the whole view in mind, the whole story of where this is going, his disciples did not, and they were scrambling to try to figure things out. Thomas said, "Lord, where are you going? We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And it's here where Jesus said those words that continue to ring with truth through all the ages. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And it's in this section that Jesus also gave to his followers, meaning those followers, but also we who are followers, he gave that beautifully descriptive word, friends. You are my friends. So let's hear the text. John 15, 9 through 17. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." There have been many points along the way for me as a pastor when I've met with desperately lonely people. Desperately lonely. People who feel truly alone in this world. I know I told this story some years ago, but one of the saddest, loneliest funerals that I ever led was for a woman from a nursing home who emphatically stated in her will that family should not be notified of her death until 2 weeks after her burial. Something had gone horribly wrong. Was she angry and deeply embittered, or had she been abused by her family and she wanted to wall it off? I don't know the backstory. And there I stood at her grave with a funeral director and a guy with a shovel. The three of us. 80 plus years old, and we were it for her. The loneliness of her life invaded me. Loneliness, friendlessness can be so pervasive. Sometimes I ask people, "Who are your friends? Who's somebody you can lean on?" And occasionally I hear this: "I've got no one. I got no one." Lauren Winter describes this as the loneliness of the everyday. The loneliness of the everyday. The loneliness of no one knowing if your plane is landing on time. And no one to call if you lock yourself out of your house. And no one to call if your alternator dies. The loneliness of the everyday. Having friends, or even just one really good friend, is vital to life. Having people who really know us beyond our names and our occupations and how we look is crucial to life. And frankly, we who are blessed by friends, we can take it for granted that other people likewise have friends. Of course they have friends, like I have friends. When in fact, a lot of people don't. For a lot of people, being alone shadows them day by day by day. There are also the isolating things that enter our life, things we wish were not part of our life stories, but they're there, like what Deb Brodmeier shared this morning, using that very word, isolation. Depression, anxiety, the silent and often all too often secretly held thing going on in us. It drains joy and hope and life and isolates. Some of you know this very well. And people living under the weight of depression or anxiety can feel alone and trapped, despairing, knowing that others don't really understand. And that there can be this false front we need to keep up. But on the inside, you're just dying in the vine. Now, I am by no means an expert in this area. Not at all. But thankfully, we have people who are doctors and therapists and skilled counselors. And if you are battling this, or if you know somebody who is, please speak up. Please let somebody know. Help can be found. So I don't want to give the impression as if I fully understand these complex things, but I do know the value of friendship. Friendship. Of having people come alongside of us who are true and loving friends. Friendships that run deeper than just common history or common interests, but really move into that true level. So I need to ask you, do you have friends like this? Do you have friends like this? And have you sought out that type of friendship? Or maybe most importantly, do you offer that type of friendship to others? Being willing to get past the small talk, even taking the lead yourself to share deeper, more vulnerable things about you so that they know it's safe to talk on this level. Do you offer that to people? Among the many needs that people have in this world, this sort of friendship is huge. It's huge. And tying it back to John 15, we who know Jesus, we who take our lead from Jesus above all others, and who know these promising words from John 15 where he says, I have called you my friends. We who are friends of Jesus need to bring that friendship into our friendship with others. We who are friends of Jesus need to bring that friendship into our friendship with others. Being loving, being safe, being people who, through friendship, may lead others into a life-giving relationship with Jesus himself. It's not about having an ulterior motive in friendship or having some hidden agenda. People can sniff that out a mile away. It's about being true and loving and honest, wanting the best for people. And what's the best we can give? Jesus. It's about having that same attitude of mind that Jesus had, offering ourselves. In John 15:15, Jesus used that word friend. In Greek, it's the word phileo, from which we get words like filial, which has to do with family, or more specifically about a son or a daughter. We also get that city named Philadelphia, city of brotherly or sisterly love. Phileo. It's one of the love words of the New Testament. And it has to do with regarding another person as one of my own. One of my people, this other person. Phileo. It includes family and it includes our closest friends. But it also runs much more broadly than that. Phileo includes people we welcome into our lives who might be strangers but who could be friends. It means people we maybe didn't know a month ago, But now we are coming to know them. They are part of that phileo. Phileo. Biblical friendship, in the way that Jesus used the word, it reaches way out to include those people around us who can become part of my own. But what happens sometimes is that we put up borders or boundaries. We allow others to come only so close. We share all kinds of things with people except those deeper, more vulnerable, tender areas that we want to keep well protected and private, maybe out of fear. And what happens is that sends a signal to others that we don't want them to go deeper either, because then it's going to get complicated. We might get involved in ways that we weren't anticipating. Wesley Hill writes about this in a remarkable book of his called Spiritual Friendship. He writes about what he's experienced in the church. He says that sometimes the silent message given is, we can be friends so long as it doesn't require too much sacrifice from me. So let's keep things loose and more casual. Well, that's not the sort of friendship. That's not the phileo Jesus talked about and modeled. That's not what the friendship that we as followers of Jesus can bring to others. That's so much less. Our call through Jesus is to take on the very nature of a servant, to invest into the lives of other people, including family and friends, but also including yet-to-be friends, welcoming them into our lives, and hopefully, by God's grace, having them see the love, the presence, the grace of Jesus at work within us. What I mean is that our friendships can go so much richer and deeper than they often go. Again, not with hidden agendas. Both the genuineness of care and love and open, honest friendship, like what Jesus offers. I have called you my friends, and I've chosen and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So Wesley Hill also experienced this in a community he was part of, kind of the flip side of this. He writes, I saw friendships leading into habits of hospitality. I saw friendships leading into habits of hospitality. Friendships were what made it possible for hospitality to be a welcome into something more. By nurturing friendships, the members of my church guaranteed that when others were invited into their circle, it was precisely that. It was a warm, loving circle that people stepped into. And correspondingly, I saw those overtures of welcome lead to deeper and richer friendships. It was a spiraling movement. And then he goes on to describe how it can lead people into relationships, into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only to believing in Jesus, but also to knowing Jesus as friend, as someone who won't leave them or abandon them, but who is with them day by day. And what greater gift can we give people in friendship than Jesus? It's what was given to me by friends. Friends who invited me into their circle. They didn't have to, but they did. It was, to use Wesley Hill's phrase, it was a warm, loving circle that spiraled deeper. I knew that they cared about me. They were invested in me, that these are people I could lean on when needed. And I knew that they were followers of Jesus, when at that point in my life, I was adamantly not a follower of Jesus. And it's not like they only talked about Jesus all the time or always brought out a Bible to make a point. It wasn't that. The fact that they longed for me to come to know Jesus, it wasn't hidden. It was right there on the table. It was up front and open. They wanted me to have a conversion experience. Because they were good, honest, loving friends who deeply cared about my life. And they knew that my life was missing the wonder and grace and truth of Jesus Christ, which I was resisting with everything that I had at that point. God used those friendships. And they are still some of my closest friends, including my wife. God used those friendships to lead me to Jesus, who became my Savior and Lord, but also my friend. Thanks be to God. We're called to be servant leaders. People who serve, people who lead in whatever ways we're given. And there are all sorts of leadership models out there today, different types on display in every direction, from Washington, D.C. to the corporate world, to the church and home and marriages. Some leadership is great and effective. Some leadership is foolish and defective. And a lot of leadership is somewhere in between. But one of the finest, most meaningful, and most doable practices of servant leadership that I know is simply this: being true, safe, and welcoming friends. Friends. Because we are friends of Jesus. We are friends of Jesus who befriend others in His name, even the lonely and complicated others, even the prickly and off-putting others, even the others who seem like they've got it all put together and don't really need us. We lead with friendship, with servant leadership. And we do what Jesus did. We lead with love. By my experience and by the experience a lot of you have had, underneath the exteriors of so many people, there are hidden pockets of pain. And there are things held in secret. There is depression and anxiety and all kinds of other issues that go on, and wounds. It's often deeply hidden. And people don't know who is safe and who is trustworthy and who is genuinely loving. And they can feel alone in a crowd, and even with their smiles and jokes and appearances that all's well, all is not. By God's grace, through being safe and welcoming and loving people to others because we are friends of Jesus, He may use us in ways beyond what we imagine, in ways we might not even ever know about, to lead others to Christ, to be the safe people that other people need. So, friends, and you are my friends, you're my phileo, I want to challenge all of us to ask. To ask God in the name of Jesus, which means in ways that completely reflect everything about Jesus. To ask God to take us a step further, or maybe 10 steps further. To ask God to make us into people who really do bear fruit, fruit that will last, helping others to know Jesus as their friend, as we do. And to intentionally open up our circles of friendship to welcome new people in, asking God to use our lives in ways that only God can. I'm challenging us to be bold in this ask, to be more and more the friends of Jesus He intends us to be. And for any of you here today for whom your relationship with Jesus has maybe grown cold, or maybe it's never really taken root, I pray that this would be the day where you simply say, "Lord, reveal Yourself. Show me more of Yourself. You take the lead." And then let Him. So I'm going to lead us in prayer in a moment, and then after the prayer, instead of using the responsive reading that we have printed in the bulletin, we're going to sing a hymn instead. It seems fitting to sing an old hymn about Jesus being our friend. So we'll sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But would you join me in prayer? Lord, I pray that You would move us deeper and further, one step, maybe 10 steps, into offering ourselves in ways that are true toward others, to to be true friends, to be loving friends, to be safe people in a world where there are so many people who are lonely and who keep the things that they need to share hidden. Lord, use us well. And for anyone here today who does not know you, Lord, I pray that this would be the day that the light would come on, that light would break in, that your words of welcome, your healing touch would move in powerful ways. We commit ourselves and the people on our right and our left and in front and back into your care, doing this all in your name. Amen.